Hello, angels. It is me, Willow, and I am here with the seventh part of my reading of Dante Alighieri's The Divine Comedy, starting from the book Inferno. If you hear a crackling noise in the background, it's because there's a candle lit. And in any other circumstance, I would blow the candle out so it wouldn't be distracting. But as a 27-year-old lady, I lit a candle with a match for the first time tonight, and I hurt myself in the process. I had literally never struck a match until today. And I hurt myself, and for spite purposes, it's staying lit until I fucking change my mind about it, because I want it to, I suffered for that, and I'm gonna smell it until I'm tired of it. Anyway, that was a tangent. If you have not heard the first six parts of this, I suggest that you do that before you listen to this one, because it's gonna be really confusing. The audios can be found pinned in the media channel of my Discord server, on my Twitter, if you scroll through all my shit posts, and in the very bottom of my Safe for Work audio index that is pinned to my Reddit profile. So that's probably the easiest way to find them. They're all there, easy to follow along. That being said, I recognize that it will be easier to understand what the fuck I'm saying to you if you've heard those ones. It's still gonna be hard to understand what the fuck I'm saying. This is a really fucking complex piece of literature where it's kind of hard to tell what's prose and what's dialogue. If you have a copy of this book, I suggest you get it out and you read it along with me, because that's going to be the easiest way to understand what's going on. But if you're just here to listen to my voice, then I don't understand, but thank you. Please know I appreciate it. This is a part of the audio where I ask you super politely to be super polite to me. I'm gonna stumble over my words. There's a shit ton in this book that I don't know how to pronounce. Most of it's locations and people. I don't know how to say those things, and I'm lazy and I don't want to look it up. So please treat this like a friend reading to you and not like an audiobook. If you're looking for an audiobook-like experience, I'm sure you can Google it and find some really beautiful, sexy-voiced man that will read this to you flawlessly and fluidly and sound like a goddamn dream. But I am not him. I am Willow and I'm a mess, and you knew what you were getting into when you got here. So, I'm comfy in bed. I've been really warm all night, so I'm not under a blanket, and my feet and my fingers are getting really cold, so if there's a lot of shuffling during this, it's because I've decided to put a blanket on. I'm not sorry. I have my glasses on. The lights are on. There's a drink beside me. I think it's cranberry juice. I don't remember what I got. That being said, we're getting started with Canto 16. Oh god, see, this is my point. The little blurb under it has three names in it, and they're people that I can't fucking say. Guido Guerrera, Aldo Brandini, Brandi? Aldo Brandi, and Rusticini? Rustucci? I don't know. And Cataract of the River Blood, which I can say. Cool. Anyway, I don't know how long I'm gonna read. The title will fucking abolish that mystery for you, but you know more than I do, because as of right now, I'm reading this and I'm not there. I've been doing 2 to 3 cantos. We'll see how it goes. I'm gonna start now. Brace yourselves. This is a ride and I'm in a mood. Okay. Now was I where was heard the reverberation of falling water into the next round. Like to that humming which the beehives make when shadows three together started forth, running from out a company that passed beneath the rain of the sharp martyrdom. Towards us they came, and each cried out, "Stop thou, for by thy guard to us thou seemest to be someone of our depraved city." Ah me, what wounds I saw upon their limbs, recent and ancient by the flames burnt in. It pains me still to remember it. And to their cries my teacher paused attentive. He turned his face towards me and, "Now wait," he said. "To these we should be courteous. And if it were not for the fire that darts the nature of this reason, I should say that haste were more becoming thee than them." And soon as we stood still, they recommenced the old refrain, and when they overtook us, formed of themselves a wheel, all three of them, as champions stripped and oiled are wont to do, watching for their advantage and their hold, before they come to blows and thrusts between them. Thus, wheeling round, did every one his visage direct to me. so that in the opposite wise his neck and feet continual journey made. And, if the misery of this soft place bring in disdain ourselves and our entries, began one, and our aspect black and blistered, let the renown of us thy mind incline to tell us who thou art, who thus securely thy living feet dost move along through hell. He in whose footprints thou dost see me treading, naked and skinless, though he now may go, was of a greater rank than thou dost think. He was the grandson of the good Guadalara? Sure. Gualdarada. And his name Guido Guerra. And in life, much did he with his wisdom and sword. To other, who's close by me, trends the sand. Tegihau? Aldo Brandy, sure, is whose fame above there in the world should welcome be, and I, who with them on the cross am placed, Jacopo Rustig, I don't even remember how I said it in the intro, was, and truly my savage wife, more than aught else, doth harm me. Could I have been protected from the fire, below I should have thrown myself among them, and think the teacher would have suffered it. But as I should have burned and baked myself, my terror overmastered my goodwill, which made me greedy of embracing them. Then I began, sorrow and not disdain did your condition fix within me so, that tardily it wholly is stripped off. As soon as this my lord said unto me, words on account of which I thought within me that people such as you were approaching. I of your city am, and evermore your labors and your honorable names I with the affection have retraced and heard. I leave the Gaul, and go for the sweet fruits promised to me by the voracious leader, but to the center first I needs must plunge. So may the soul for a long while conduct these limbs of thine, did he make answer then. And so may thy renown shine after thee. Valor and courtesy say if they dwell within our city as they used to do, or if they wholly have gone out of it. The fucking names, dude. For Borsier, who is in torment with us of late, and goes there with his comrades, doth greatly mortify us with his words. The new inhabitants and sudden gains, pride and extravagance, have in thee endangered Florence, so that thou weepest whereat already. In these wise I exclaimed with face uplifted, and the three, taking that for my reply, looked at each other as one looks at truth. If other time so little it dost cost thee, replied they all, to satisfy another happy art thou, thus speaking at thy will. Therefore, if thou escape from these dark places, and come to rebehold the beauteous stars, when it shall pleasure thee to say, I was. See that thou speak of us unto the people. Then they broke up the wheel, and in their flight it seemed as if their agile legs were wings. None amen could possibly be said so rapidly that they had disappeared, wherefore the master deemed best to depart. I followed him, and little had we gone before the sound of water was so near us, that speaking we should hardly have been heard. Even as a stream which holdeth its own course, the first from Monte Veso towards the east, upon the left-hand slope of Apennine, which is above called Aquecha, ere it descendeth low into the bed, and at Forli is vacant of that name, reverberates there above San Benedetto, from Alps by falling at a single leap, where for a thousand there were room enough, thus downward from a bank precipitate, we found resounding that dark-tinted water, so that it soon the ear would have offended. I had a cord around me girt, and therewithal I huilum had designed to take the panther with the painted skin. After I this had all from me unloosed, as my conductor had commanded me, I reached it to him, gathered up and coiled. Whereat he turned himself to the right side, and at a little distance from the verge, he cast it down into the deep abyss. It must needs be some novelty respond, I said within myself. To the new signal, the master with his eye is following so. Ah me, how very cautious men should be with those who not alone behold the act, but with their wisdom look into the thoughts. He said to me, soon there will be upwards come what I await, and what thy thought is dreaming must soon reveal itself unto thy sight. I, to that truth which has the face of falsehood, a man should close his lips as far as may be, because without his fault it causes shame. But here I cannot, and reader, by the notes of this my comedy, to thee I swear, so may they not be void of lasting favor. Athwart the defense and darksome atmosphere, I saw a figure swimming upwards come, marvelous unto every steadfast heart. As soon as he returns who goeth down, sometimes to clear an anchor, which has grappled reef, or aught else that in the sea has hidden, who upward stretches and draws in his feet. I'm gonna get a drink because my throat's really fucking dry. But then we'll be moving on to Canto 17, which will hopefully have less names in it. Didn't these old Latin people know that me, a 27-year-old angry person, would have to read this in 2021 and not want to be able to figure out their fucking names? How dare they not just make this convenient for me? I'm really sorry to anybody who was listening to this and thought it would be satisfying and soothing. I'm a menace. Okay. Canto 17. It says, Geryon, the violent against art, you sirs, and the descent into the abyss of male bulge. What a fucking word. Okay. This starts in quotations. So I'm telling you now, while I have a second, that this is dialogue, not prose. You're welcome. This is the only guidance I can give you. Behold the monster with the pointed tail, who cleaves the hills and breaketh walls and weapons. Behold him who infecteth all the world. Thus unto me my God began to say, and beckoned him that he should come to shore, near to the confine of the trodden marble. And that uncleanly image of deceit came up and thrust ashore its head and bust, but on the border did not drag its tail. The face was the face of a man. Its semblance outwardly was so benign, and of the serpent all the trunk beside. Two paws it had, hairy unto the armpits, the back and breast and both of the sides it had, depicted o'er with nooses and with shields. With colors more, groundwork embroidery, never in cloth did Tartars make, nor Turks, nor were such tissues by Arachne laid. As sometimes wherries lie upon the shore, that part are in the water and part on land, and among the guzzling Germans there, the beaver plants himself to wage his war, so that vile monster lay upon the border, which is of stone, and shutteth into the sand. His tail was so wholly quivering in the void, contorting upwards in an envenomed fork, that in the guise of a scorpion armed its point. The guide said, now perforce must turn aside our way a little, even to that beast malevolent, and yonder coucheth him. We therefore on the right side descended, and made 10 steps upon the outer verge, completely to avoid the sand and flame. And after we are come to him, I see a little further off upon the sand, a people sitting near the hollow place. Excuse me. Then said to me the master, so that full experience is of this round thou bear away, and now go and see what their condition is. Here let thy conversation be concise. Till thou returnest, I will speak with him, that he concede to us his stalwart shoulders. Thus further upon the Thus further still upon the outermost head of the seventh circle, all alone I went, where I sat the melancholy folk. Out of their eyes was gushing forth their woe, this way, that way. They helped them with their hands, now from the flames and now from the hot soil. Not otherwise in summer do the dogs, now with the foot, now with the muzzle, when by fleas or flies or gadflies they are bitten. When I had turned mine eyes upon the faces of some, on whom the dolorous fire was falling, not one of them I knew, but I perceived that from the neck of each other hung a pouch, which certain color had, and certain blazon, and thereupon it seems their eyes are feeding. And as I, gazing round me, came among them, upon a yellow pouch I azure saw, that had the face and posture of a lion. Proceeding then the current of my sight, another of them I saw, red as blood, display a goose more white than butter is. And one, who with an azure saw engraved and blazoned on his little pouch of white, said unto me, "What dost thou in this moat? Now get thee gone, and since thou art still alive, know that a neighbor of mine, Vitalano, will have his seat here on my left-hand side. As Paduan am I with these Florentines, full many a time they thunder in mine ears, exclaiming, 'Come the sovereign cavalier, he who shall bring the satchel with three goats.' Then twisted he his mouth, and forth he thrust his tongue, like to an ox that licks its nose. And fearing lest my longer stay might vex him, who had warned me not to tarry long, backwards I turned from these weary souls. I found my guide, who had already mounted upon the back of that wild animal, and said to me, 'Now be both strong and bold. Now we descend by stairways such as these. Mount thou in front, for I will be midway, so that the tail may have no power to harm thee.' Such as he who has so near the ague of a quartan that his nails are blue already, and trembles all but looking at the shade. Even such became I those proffered words, but shame in me his menaces produce, which maketh servant strong before good master. It seated me upon those monstrous shoulders. I wished to say, and yet voice came not, as I believed, 'Take heed that thou shalt embrace me.' But he, who other times had rescued me in other peril, soon as I had mounted, within his arms encircled and sustained me, and said, 'Now, Geryon, bestir thyself. The circle's large, and the descents be little. Think of the novel burden of which thou hast. Even as the little vessel shoves from shore, backwards, still backwards, so thence withdrew. And when we wholly felt himself afloat, there where his breasts had been, he turned his tail, and extended like an eel he moved, with his paws drew himself the air. A greater fear I do not think there was, what time had abandoned Phaon, the reins, whereby the heavens, as still appears, were scorched, nor when that wretched Icarus, his flanks felt stripped of feathers by the melting wax, his father crying, an ill way thou takest. Then was my own, when I perceived myself on all sides in the air, and saw extinguish the sight of everything but the monster. Onward he goeth, swimming slowly, slowly, wheels and descends, but I perceive it only by wind upon my face from below. I heard already on the right the whirlpool making a horrible crashing under us, whence I thrust out my head and eyes cast downward. Then was I still more fearful of the abyss, because I fires beheld and heard laments, whereat I, trembling, all the closer cling. I saw then, for before I had not seen it, the turning and descending by great horrors that were approaching upon divers sides. As falcon, who has long been on the wing, who, without seeing either lure or bird, maketh the falconer say, "Ah me, thou stoopest," descendeth wary, whence he started swiftly, thorough 100 circles, and alights far from his master, sullen and disdainful. Even thus did Geryon place us on the bottom, close to the bases of the rough-hewn rock, and being disencumbered of our persons, he sped away as an arrow from the string. I think I'm going to call it there. I would read more, but I started a little late tonight. It's already 1:15. Anyway, that was cantos 15 and 16 of Dante Alighieri's The Divine Comedy from the book Inferno, and I'll be back to read you guys some more tomorrow. So, as always, stay awesome, motherfuckers, and I love you very much. Thanks for listening.